Ran. Vayirdefu Mitzrayim achareihem. The second reading of Parshas Beshalach, the Jewish people are leaving Mitzrayim triumphantly, and they're moving towards the future, really for them an uncertain future. They don't know where they're going yet. So Egypt now has gotten wind of the fact that the Israelites seem to be lost, wandering, and so Egypt now has pursued them. One of the interesting things about the loan that they took, Why did they lie? I always wonder this, and Mefarshim asked, why did they lie like that? So one of the things that I recently saw was because this is how the Pharaoh managed to get everybody to follow him. They were terrified, 10 plagues, and they still went and chased the Jewish people. Pharaoh said, we have all our stuff. They took our stuff. They said, oh, they took our stuff, right. They loaned our stuff. They didn't return our stuff. So because of this, this was a chief instigator in getting them to have the gumption and the courage to pursue the Jewish people. But we didn't know how frightened our enemies were. We didn't know that it took a lot of courage for them, even though we had 10 plagues, as you're soon going to see, because we, the Jewish people, had an enormous amount of fear still left over. Remember, we're generations of slaves. So Egypt is pursuing them. Vayasigo isam chenim alayam. They come and they find them camped on the sea. Kol sus rechev pare, all of the cavalry, ufarasha vechele al piachidus, all of his armies are there now at the mouth of the Chiros, lefnei Baltzephon. So let's take a look in Rashi and try to understand what this verse is telling us. Actually, we can't take a look in Rashi because there is no Rashi. There is no Rashi. But there is a Shachal HaTeret that says like this. Earlier, it was the Pharaoh who was leading the Jewish, the enemies of the Israelites, the Egyptians, into battle. And now it says, Vayirdefu Mitzrayim. The Egyptians were pursuing them. So the obvious question, although it doesn't seem to be a question, Pshut Shel Mikra, in verse 8 it says, Vayichazik Hashem Eslev Parim Elov Mitzrayim, God strengthened the heart of the Pharaoh, Vayirdef Achrei Bnei Yisrael. And he, not Vayirdefu, he, the Pharaoh, pursued the Jewish people. And everybody just followed him. But now in verse 9, it's Vayirdefu Mitzrayim. Now it's the Egyptians who are pursuing them. So the question is, what happened? What changed from verse 8? So the Shachal HaTeira says, after the Pharaoh went and sort of ignited everybody's courage, and he incited everybody with renewed hatred and zeal, and once he himself went and he harnessed his horses to his own chariot. He didn't have somebody else do it. So and he showed such eagerness in pursuing the people. He showed such fearlessness despite everything that had happened. Ah, when he showed that, so then this had a ripple effect. And the people got inspired by their leader. And therefore, they too began to pursue, not heavy-heartedly, but full of alacrity, full of zest, full of vim and vigor. And they not only were following the Pharaoh, but at this point, they overtook the Pharaoh. They left the leader behind them, and they, as they foamed with hatred at their mouth, even more so than the Pharaoh himself. And so they came to the Jewish people as they were camped, and after they came, that's when the Pharaoh came. And maybe, from what I told you, maybe this is this idea that they had stuff missing. Pharaoh didn't have any stuff. Nobody borrowed anything from the Pharaoh. But people gave a lot of gold and silver away. And now they were coming after the gold and silver. Verse 9 reverts back to the other way. Ufaroi hikriv, Pharaoh drew close. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael l'seneihem, the children of Israel raise up their eyes. Vehine they see Mitzrayim noseya achareihem. Egypt is pursuing them. And when they see this, vayiru ma'id, they become very frightened. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem, the children of Israel cry out to God. So now we have some Rashi. Ufaroi hikriv, the Pharaoh is drawing close. This sounds to be dynamic. The Pharaoh is coming closer. However, Rashi points out, hoyoloi lichtev, really, it should have said, ufaroi korav, the Pharaoh drew himself close. Because after all, this is already post ipso facto. It's after the story. It's already happened. The Pharaoh has already come, as is documented in verse 9. So why does it say now in verse 10, ufaroi hikriv, the Pharaoh is drawing close? Mao hikriv, says Rashi, hikriv atzmai, He brought himself close. He gathered his own strength. He pushed himself even harder, lekadim lefneim, which to be in front of the rest of the army, which dovetails perfectly into what the Shachar LaTorah said. And maybe Rashi doesn't say it because it's so obvious. The people God inspired, the people he instigated him. He filled them with his courage and they all of a sudden wanted to do it. And once they overtook him and they came to the Jewish people, ufara hikriv. Now the Pharaoh tried even harder. He got in front of his own armies. The way he had promised them. He said to them, I will not be like the other armies where the general or the king sits in the back and he lets the foot soldiers go to the front. I will go to the front this time. Yeah, big hero. He's pursuing a bunch of slaves. Can't defend themselves. We have no weapons. But the Pharaoh said, I'm going to go to the front. And so everybody pushed even ahead of him because they got so excited about this. And the Pharaoh now said not to be outdone. Ufara hikrif. Pharaoh meant to push his way through the crowds and he was trying to be right at the front there. And the Jewish people see this. By Yirumay, they became very frightened. And so they cry out to Hashem. Now here is something very unusual. The beginning of the Pasuk, verse 10 begins, Ufaro Hikriv. Hikriv is singular, but it's one person. And then it says, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael se'neihem. The children of Israel raised their eyes up. You're talking about a cavalry of hundreds of thousands of soldiers. So it cannot be that all the Israelites zeroed in on one Pharaoh and they saw the one Pharaoh trying to get to the front, and that's why they became frightened. It must be, what did they see? And it says what they saw. Vini Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is who? A nation. Mitzrayim, they say, achareim. Egypt is pursuing them. One second. Egypt should be noisim achareim. It doesn't say acharov, it doesn't say after him. It says achareim after them. Because it's a nation. It's plural. Well, if the nation is being pursued, when we allude to that in a plural tense, why does the pasuk begin by saying "V'hini Mitzrayim noisei'ah"? Egypt is coming, singular tense. It should have said noisim. So Rashi deals with this, and he says noisei'ah achareim, singular. Why is it lashon yachid here? Rashi's answer is the first answer. Before he goes into any other, the first answer is belev echad ki ish echad. People who were like with one heart, like one person. Then Rashi says, Davar Acher. There's a secondary interpretation because the first interpretation doesn't fully cut it. What do you mean, like one heart to one person? Why did they have such unity? So Rashi says, another interpretation is, Mitzrayim, they say, Achareim, Hasar Shal Mitzrayim. The Jewish people who had gone through 10 plagues, who had watched all these miracles unfolded, they already had a greater sensitivity to the spiritual reality. They could see things that ordinary people couldn't see. And what did they see? They saw Mitzrayim, Hasar Shal Mitzrayim. They saw the angel of Egypt, Neseah Min HaShamayim, coming down from the heavens, Lazar LeMitzrayim. So they saw the heavenly angels, the Sar Shal Mitzrayim, coming down. Now they got really frightened. Up until now, it's just Pharaoh. It's Pharaoh, plagues. What's the problem? God has taken care of this already. But now when they saw, all of a sudden, there's a heavenly force, there's a Sar, oh, now they got scared. So why does Rashi need the second interpretation? Because, this is just my humble offering, I don't know if this is correct, because it says that Mitzrayim is Neseah Achareihem, and immediately afterwards it says Vayiru Mo'id, they became very frightened. Why did they become very frightened? What did they see that made them very frightened? Furthermore, how could they see, how would they have known that the Egyptians were Belev Echad Ki Ish Echad? How could you see that? That's in the heart. It's like, how would the Israelites know how they're feeling? And how is it that the Egyptian feelings would play into the emotions of the Israelites? So on a literal level, it says, that's like straightforward, on a literal level. But the pasuk, the syntax of the verse, the cadence of the verse doesn't seem to fit, doesn't jibe. It says, first of it says, Mitzrayim is Neseah. Immediately afterwards, it says, Ve'yirumay, they became very frightened. Why? So therefore, Rashi uses the secondary interpretation, and he says that's because they saw the heavenly forces, it seemed. They saw angels arrayed against them. And this already was something they were very, very concerned with. Incidentally, the Ibn Ezra takes a different approach than Rashi when it comes to Pari Hikriv. He says, Pari Hikriv, the Pharaoh, even though everybody was excited and they overtook him and they were in the front, the Pharaoh was still whipping up enthusiasm, riding throughout the ranks and inspiring them and pushing everybody to go forward even harder. As the Sephardim says, the Pharaoh single-handedly mobilized an entire army. It's like an unbelievable feat. And he got everybody to go forward and to be ready to perform this attack on the Jewish people. So why does it say v'hinei Mitzrayim? If it means an angel, if it means a sar, what is it, Mitzrayim? So the Sif Sechem explains in Rashi, what is the name of the sar of Mitzrayim? What is the name of the spiritual angel of Mitzrayim? What do you think? Mitzrayim. That's his name. The nation's name is Mitzrayim. So the angel's name is Mitzrayim. So he says, that's the meaning of Vehini Mitzrayim Noiseya, in the second interpretation, where they saw an angel. This is the angel of the Egyptians. He saw Vehini Mitzrayim. What do you see? They saw Mitzrayim, the angel, a singular creature, if you will, a celestial creature whose name is Mitzrayim. The Balaturim actually takes a similar approach to Rashi, but he doesn't say, he says, his name is not Mitzrayim, his name is Uzzah. It doesn't mention him by name. It says, meaning Mitzrayim, Egypt is coming. What was their worry? Sari Shom Mitzrayim. And this was the angel named Uzzah. At any rate, they became very, very frightened. Why did they become so frightened? After all, they were a massive nation, several million people. So the Pharaoh had hundreds of thousands of soldiers, but you got a human wave. You know, the war for like the Chinese. How would they be able to overcome them? Everybody would have rushed them. Same question people asked with the Holocaust. If entire villages were wiped out, entire villages, hundreds of Jews, sometimes thousands of Jews, by a handful of Lithuanians, Latvians, Estonians, Poles. Actually, Poles were, it was different. Ukrainians, a handful. I can't even count them anymore, how many stories I heard of the Nazis didn't even get to the village. The locals came, the local police force. They mobilized, and usually it was 5 or 6 people, 10 people. They managed to march 5,000 people to the forest and shoot them. 5,000 people could overrun 10 soldiers with machine guns. Why didn't they? Why? Because they lived in fear. Everybody was terrorized. If one person opened his mouth, he was slaughtered in front of everybody. Everybody was terrorized. They couldn't think. They were immobilized by fear. And they had what's called an exilic kind of mindset, where we don't fight back. They didn't do it for generations. They didn't fight back. So people couldn't even imagine fighting back. The fact that there was any resistance is remarkable. The Bechor Shai says, remember, these were people who lived under the thumb of these taskmasters. They were tormented by these taskmasters. They were beaten by the taskmasters. Generationally, two centuries. It's like, it's not something that you get rid of easily, even though they saw the plagues. It stayed with them. Where the Chizkuni says, they knew their individual captors. We have a medrash that says they came and they looked at the bodies and they said to the dogs, "Yo, eat. This is the captor who beat me, eat him. You know, get your revenge now." That's the problem.
The view is fuzzy.
The view is fuzzy. Okay. Is the sound fuzzy?
No, it's very blurry.
Oh, really? All right. So the Chizkuni says they were afraid to fight with their masters. It's not hard to understand. If they would have been able to fight, that would have been a feat. That would have been extraordinary. So now the Jewish people are very, very afraid. The Torah says also that They had no morale to fight. For soldiers to have morale, you need training, you need confidence. Even though Hashem calls them an army when they left Egypt, it was not an army. It was a bunch of families. It was elderly people, little children. They didn't have the ability to mobilize themselves, to turn themselves to a fighting force. So they were very frightened. And what did they do? They cried out to God. What did they cry out? That's a whole other story, and that's a different subject. But I want to spend the balance of today's class talking about the B'lev Echad Ki Ish Echad. V'hini Mitzrayim Nesei Achareihem, the first interpretation of Rashi, not the second one, not that this one angel, but that the people of Egypt were united. So how did this hate nation get united that way? And Rashi points out something very, very different in Parshas Yisrei. Almost the same words. Almost the same idea for the Jewish people. When they come to Har Sinai, the apex of our spiritual achievement. And how does that work? How do we balance our coming to Sinai and us being in such unity, the Egyptians pursuing us at the climax of the Exodus, and them being in such unity? How does this work? So if you take a look in the Birum book on page Zei Shayin Tes, we will have a marvelous beer from our Rebbe. Page Zei Shayin Tes, Simen Yud. B'lev Echad Ki Ish Echad. Gam es ha-posuk b'Parshas Yisrei, also the posuk, the verse in Parshas Yisrei, that says Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. The Israelites encamped corresponding to the mountain. Ha Oisek B'chani Yosam Shol B'nei Yisrael L'margalos Har Sinai, which deals with and tells the narrative of the Jewish people camping at the foot of Mount Sinai. Likras Kabbalas HaTorah, as they move towards receiving the Torah. Mefarash Rashi B'lashon Dema. Rashi, interestingly, uses very similar syntax. And he says the same thing, but in a little bit of a different order. Ach, Shom HaSeder U'Hafach, the order is, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Like one person with one heart. And here it says, B'Lev Echad Ki Ish Echad. With one heart, like one person. So the obvious question is, number one, why did Rashi switch the order? If a nation in unison is called Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, why wasn't Mitzrayim Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad? And of course the unspoken question is, if Egypt can do it as they pursued Israel in hate, what's the big deal if the Israelites could do it when they came to Har Sinai? Why is that such a big deal? Wow, amazing thing. Jewish people came by Yichan Sham Yisrael, the one time we acted in concert, we came to him. Big deal. Egypt did it too. So the Rebbe explains Siba Sahevdo, the reason for this distinction. And when you understand the reason for the distinction, all the other questions fall away. Habitoi, the expression, ki ish echad, like one person. Matzbiya al achtos bein anoshim atzman. This is indicative, it points to a unity amongst people themselves. Meaning, heim einam royim es atzman ka anoshim sheinim benifradim ze mizeh. These are people who do not see themselves as different from one another. Ella, how do they view themselves? They view themselves as Siamese twins? What does it mean people don't see themselves as different from one another? Every person is different. Every person thinks differently. Every person feels differently. Every person is different. What does it mean people who are exactly the same? It means kechelkav shel guf klali echad. They feel like one common organization, so to speak. One common organism. So when you have a body, the hand does not think it's the nose, if the hand could think. We would have trouble otherwise. If the liver tried to do the job of the heart and the stomach tried to do the job of the kidneys, we would have a very sick person. So each one of the organs does its job. That's its job, that's what it does. And it knows, so to speak, its own mission, mandate, and purpose. It understands its unique ability. It knows that it's different. It knows who he is. I have my qualities, you have your qualities. And yet, all the different organs don't feel like they're strangers living together under the same roof. The heart doesn't look at the kidney and say, what are you doing here? How do you occupy space in my little abode? They all understand that they work with each other. They're all in this together. That's the meaning of Ki Ish Echad. Ish Echad, one person, comprises many different components, many different facets, all of whom are different, but all of whom together work in concert. What's B'Lev Echad? B'Lev Echad, lo mazeis, conversely, matzbi al achtos b'she'ifoseihem shel ha'anoshim. B'Lev Echad seems to be indicative of people's desires. You know, people say desires of the heart. Common passion, a common pursuit. People are very different from one another, but they share a common goal. Because they share a common feeling, a common fervor unites them. It's a common desire, a common yearning that motivates them. So kulam poilim l'matara achas, whether they feel as one or not, that's not the issue. But the point is, how do they feel about life? They all feel that they want the same thing. B'kulam mekanim rotzen echad v'shiifa achas. And all of them, there, so to speak, resonates a single desire. They all want the same thing. Okay. B'kach, now that we have defined ki ish echad and b'lev echad, we define the differences, different components who are part of a single organism. That's Ki Ish Echad. And the idea of B'Lev Echad, which is that there is a shared values or desire or yearning, a shared want, a shared motivation. Now that we understand that, this is the difference between Rashi's interpretation, explanation here in Parshas B'Shalach, and Rashi's explanation and interpretation in Parshas Yisrei. How so? Bein HaMitzrim, amongst the Egyptian army, which really means amongst the Egyptian nation, there was no true unity. There was no true unity. There were many different kinds. There was Dargah Shoinis. There were different levels. There was Pharaoh. That was the king. The king, commander-in-chief. There's Khartoumim. There's the wizards who came along for the ride. They didn't really do, they weren't the warriors. They were the strategists. They were the people who were the analysts. They were the people who were involved in collecting data. It's an important part of the army, but a different part. And then there was, you know, Rishayim Yeser, Rishayim Pachos, people who were wicked, more wicked, people who were less wicked, different kinds of people. They all came from different places, so to speak. Yachadim Zeis, however, but if he does on this morning, on this day, when they were chasing Jewish people, all of Mitzrayim was kulum b'lev echad. They all had the same heart, which meant, b'kulum ke'echad kinnu hasina. All what resonated in everybody's heart today was hate. This was the hate nation. United in hate. They hated Am Yisrael. They hated the Israelites. V'harotzen, they had this desire, lirdef achareim, levgoyabem, they had desire to pursue them, to strike them. She'ifa mishutef ezu, this common goal, this common desire, he shehivia lekach shemro atzam kish echad. That's why they saw each other as one person. Was not the unity to begin with, it was the desire that united them. There was their emotions that united them. And after their emotions united them, then they felt as one person. So where did it begin? Did it begin in their vision and their perspective that they saw each other all as one? One for all for one? No. What began is, they say, each one thought about himself. But, they had a common goal. They had a common passion, which here was the passion of hate, a common emotion. Because they had that common emotion, therefore, they set their differences aside, and they pursued Israel, ki ish echad, as one person. Conversely, and that's why Rashi says, Shamitzim rodfach bnei Yisrael, the Egyptians pursued Israelites, how? Belev echad. In one heart. Ki ish echad, like one person. Meaning, hasheifa mushutefes l'chol ha-Mitzrayim. The desire, the emotion, the passion that gripped them all equally. The feelings and fervor that resonated for all of them in concert. That was that brought them together. And once they had that feeling, once they were shared, they had to say, the hearts beat in unison. Then they started to feel the unity. Then their differences began to melt away. Who was in charge? Who wasn't? Who stood to gain? Who didn't? All that, all these things which naturally would have driven a wedge between them and made each one feel independent and not work in tandem, all these things now fell away. Why? Because they were united by this goal, by this hatred, by this passion. And because they had that hatred and passion, they set the differences aside. They became kish echad. Very, very sharp and different contrasts. When the children of Israel camped at Har Sinai, Lo mazeis, conversely, shadadu b'neihem achdus amitis. What was there? Absolute oneness. B'shor g'doy lozu, at that great hour, hisgala ha'achdus ha'tevua v'imki nishmasam. The real unity, the true unity, the unity that exists and resides beneath the surface, under the skin, really, despite all the differences, really we are one. Really and truly, organically, Am Yisrael is one. Deep in the souls of Am Yisrael, we're one. But we just don't feel it. It's so deep, you have to dig so far, that most of the time, it just never comes to the surface. But in this great and wondrous hour, it did. And since they drilled down to their essence, and since this wonderful moment revealed the true nature of who Am Yisrael is, Heim Choshu, therefore they felt Ki Ish Echad, Be'etzem Ohusam. The fact that they all came together to receive the Torah means that they felt a true unity. They felt that we really are one. V'loi B'glal HaRetzoinis V'Hashi'ifas HaMishutefes, not because we had a feeling, a fervor, a passion, a love. We had a unity, Achtazu Hisha'eridu B'Liba Misaratzim V'Hashi'ifa. On the contrary, not that the passion and fervor caused the unity, but the revelation of unity is what caused the passions. That's because they felt unified. For real, that's why because they felt that unity, That's why now they wanted so desperately to get the Torah. And that's why they became afterwards Belev Echad. In other words, what does it begin from? What's the origin? What's the root source? What's the foundation? Ki Ish Echad. The true oneness. The true oneness led to Belev Echad. And that's why the order in Parshas Yisrei is different. It doesn't say Belev Echad Ki Ish Echad. It says Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad. Meaning Achdusam Ha'atzmis Shel Bnei Yisrael. The intrinsic, internal, organic oneness of the Jewish people. Ki Ish Echad. He Sheheviyo L'Ratzon HaMashutav. That's what brought them into a common love, a common desire, a common goal, a Kabbalah Sateira, that they were later Belev Echad. So the common wisdom is that the difference in the Jewish people and the Egyptians were that they were united in hate and we were united in love. That's the common, that's the well-worn approach between the unity of Egypt and the unity of Israel. That's pretty good. That's nice. Yeah, the unity of they kill each other, but only when they come to fight with us, that's when they get together. Or we're together, that's why we'll fight back. Okay, it's nice. But doesn't explain the difference, like Ki Ish Echad and Belev Echad. This is much more profound. The way that Rebbe explains this, the unity, the question is the unity intrinsic or superficial? So for the Egyptians, the moment that the passion passed, the unity was gone. For Am Yisrael, even when the moment of Matan Torah ceased, even when we didn't feel that fervor and passion, the truth still remains. We just have to try to reveal it again. But the truth still remains because this was not this was not a unity that was engendered by feeling. On the contrary, it was the unity for us that engendered the feelings. And therefore, the unity is really there. So we have to look a little deeper.
Mashiach. That's it.
Mashiach. You can't leave this for Mashiach. We have to try to do it now. And when we do it now, that will hopefully hasten the coming of Mashiach. Amen. Amen. Amen.